The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, we made it to a Thursday. At least some of us did. It's a scary world out there. I'm Nicole Sandler. Thank you for joining us today here at NicoleSandler.com, perhaps on Progressive Voices Network or Netroots Radio or GDPR or any of the other wonderful stations that carry the show. I thank you for listening or to the podcast, you know, if you're listening to the podcast. However you listen, thank you for joining us today. It's a scary world out there. If it's Thursday, it must be Howie Klein Day, and it means that Samantha Bee was on the television last night.
I was terrified. I am.
At least six explosive devices were sent by mail to political figures up and down the East Coast. Another device was found in CNN's mailroom in the Time Warner building in New York City that caused a massive evacuation. Fortunately, no one has been hurt in the spree of attempted attacks.
We're so glad that everyone who received an explosive device today is safe. Shout out to CNN's Wolf Blitzer, who let all his evacuated colleagues huddle in his beard for warmth. Fox News tried to do a journalism, sending out a news alert claiming that the suspicious package contained some kind of white power. You know,
it did.
I don't mean to be critical right now, but correct doesn't change white powder to white power unless you type white power a lot. In the immediate aftermath, even Donald Trump struck a semi-responsible tone.
He did.
We have to unify. We have to come together and send one very clear, strong, unmistakable message that acts or threats of political violence of any kind have no place in the United States of America.
Oh, it's nice that Trump briefly tried to be the president today. I mean, just so you know, I'm taping this at 6 p.m., so if he said Hillary is in ISIS at 6:01, it hasn't happened yet. It's rare to hear someone on the right talking about their favorite adversaries like their people instead of like this.
Stop the radical Democrat mob.
This whole two-week effort has been a calculated and orchestrated political hit. Revenge on behalf of the Clintons.
President Obama, he is the founder of ISIS.
I can't help but think that the Democrats, perhaps Soros, others may be funding this.
One of the women who was screaming at him, it turns out, is a professional activist on the payroll of billionaire George Soros.
I called the fake news the enemy of the people, and they are. They are the enemy of the people.
I'm not going to speculate about what the motive was for those attempted bombings, especially because I'm really super bad at predicting things. I should never have made my child's middle name Bill Cosby as innocent. It was my grandfather's name, and I definitely should not have agreed to co-host a Halloween party with Megyn Kelly.
Ah,
I'm just saying, it would be great if the president and his cronies talked about Democrats and the press with a shred of humanity, even on days when their lives weren't threatened.
Yeah, even on those days. By the way, speaking of Megyn Kelly, it looks like she is out at NBC. Why they ever hired her in the first place, I don't know. There are some rumors that she's going to be talking to the people at Fox about going back there. I guess she belongs there, but ew, really? Oy. Well, the news is horrendous again. It's atrocious. It's scary. It's terrifying. I'd say I don't know how we got here, but I know full well how we got here. Donald Trump is the fucking president of the United States. And his well, I used the word vile a few minutes ago. His vile behavior is just, you reap what you sow. He puts it out there, this ugly, negative, nasty energy. And is anyone surprised that 10 bombs were sent through the mail in the last few days headed towards Democrats? Not only Democrats, but critics of Donald Trump. When he has incited people, his followers, to violence, and yet they won't stand up for what they've done. They're trying to equate, calling out a Republican for their shitty leadership abilities, if you see them in a restaurant or in a public space, with sending fucking bombs through the mail. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I don't know how we make it through another 2 years. I really don't. Election day is in a week and a few days, but this is only the midterms. Hopefully, people will come out in droves to vote and vote Democratic, whether you're a Democrat or not, just to put some kind of check on the abuse of power that is being waged on us by Donald Trump every fucking day. Again, I don't know how we get through it. I'll tell you what, let's get to the news, shall we? Because there's a lot to talk about today.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, Washington, D.C. and the rest of the country, frankly, is on edge as the FBI investigates a string of attempted mail bombings addressed to top Democrats. The FBI is examining, quote, potentially destructive devices sent to former President Barack Obama, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, former Attorney General Eric Holder, former CIA Director John Brennan in care of CNN, liberal donor and philanthropist George Soros, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, who is, of course, a frequent Trump critic. She was sent two packages. One was intercepted in Los Angeles and another at a Washington area mail facility, according to the FBI. Two suspicious packages were also sent to former Vice President Joe Biden. Those two located just this morning. And also this morning, another package, a tenth, was identified in Lower Manhattan, sent to actor Robert De Niro's Tribeca offices. Sorry.
There are similarities. Police there have been there for the past hour and a half or so. What we're being told is that there are similarities in what police have been dealing with in the other packages. The stamping, there are stamps on there similar to some of the stamps that we've seen in other packaging. The
same return address.
Same return address, I'm being told by two sources.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz's office.
That's correct. Everything that I'm being told indicates that this is similar to what law enforcement has been dealing with in the last 3 days. So this is very serious. This is exactly what law enforcement was concerned about. They suspected, they expected that they would be dealing with more of this morning. And here we are, another situation, which obviously has everyone concerned. Parts of Lower Manhattan now closed because of this.
Yep. Now, none of the devices discovered this week exploded, and no one was harmed. Thus, as someone just pointed out in the chat room, the right-wingers are calling, false flag! This never happened. It's Democrats doing it. My ass. The 6-inch long package bombs, each with a battery and containing powder and broken glass, were constructed from PVC pipe and covered with black tape. The white powder in the package sent to CNN was tested and determined to be harmless. At least there's that. Speaking in the East Room on Wednesday, yesterday, Donald Trump condemned, quote, acts or threats of political violence. Can he condemn himself?
I'd like to begin today's remarks by providing an update on the suspicious packages and devices mailed to current and former high-ranking government officials. The safety of the American people is my highest and absolute priority.
Bullshit.
I have just concluded a briefing with the FBI, Department of Justice, Department of Homeland Security, and the U.S. Secret Service. As we speak, the packages are being inspected by top explosive experts, and a major federal investigation is now underway. The full weight of our government is being deployed to conduct this investigation and bring those responsible for these despicable acts to justice. We will spare no resources or expense in this effort. And I just want to tell you that in these times, we have to unify. We have to come together and send one very clear, strong, unmistakable message that acts or threats of political violence of any kind have no place in the United States of America.
Why do I not believe him? Because he lies about everything, and his words belie the speech he read off the teleprompter yesterday. At his Wisconsin rally last night, Trump, again, at the beginning anyway, read from his teleprompter words aimed at tamping down the rhetoric, sounding like he was giving himself some much-needed advice.
Those engaged in the political arena must stop treating political opponents as being morally defective.
Yeah, Donald.
No one should carelessly compare political opponents to historical villains, which is done often,
by
done
you?
All the time.
By you.
Gotta stop. We should not mob people in public spaces or destroy public property.
Yeah, see, I think he was talking to himself there. Anyway, he quickly returned to his usual form and blamed the media.
As part of a larger national effort to bridge our divides and bring people together, the media also has a responsibility to set a civil tone and to stop the endless hostility and constant negative and oftentimes false attacks and stories. Have to do it.
Asshole.
Have to do it.
Asshole.
There's Donald Trump again, doubling down on blaming the media. CNN's Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo, who were evacuated yesterday due to one of those bombs being sent to CNN, well, they spoke out from, well, on the sidewalk in front of the CNN building in New York.
I could have been mourning you. You could have been mourning me. God forbid, we could have lost our colleagues. And this person who calls himself the president of the United States does not have the testicular fortitude to own his part in all of this. And I'm so sick and tired of people coming on television and equating a First Amendment right of protest to a potential act of terrorism.
Yeah, hello.
They are not equivalent. And we shouldn't let them get away with it because it's not the same thing. Fine. Someone walks by, we're doing a live shot, and they want to yell at us. That's their business. They do it, you keep moving. No harm, no foul. I'm in a restaurant, someone doesn't like me. Oh, Don Lemon, you know, whatever. Fake news, you can call me whatever you want. No harm, no foul. But someone delivering a bomb to your place of business,
yep,
that can potentially kill you and your coworkers, that's a horse of another color.
You think?
And the two should not be equated. And I'm glad that you said that about they're not journalists, because what they're doing is doing the bidding for this president who cannot own his own terrible, awful, damaging rhetoric.
He had that
for
him, opportunity.
He blamed the victim tonight. Yep. For him to sit there and blame us, we're the victims here.
And only us.
Is disgusting.
Yeah, and only us. I guess he thought the victim in all this somehow him.
Yeah, he did blame the victims. But that's what Donald Trump does. It's opposite world. He talks about the things that he does and accuses his political opponents of doing those things because he's a shady character. It's all he knows. So he just thinks everybody else is as crooked as he is. Continuing their residency in opposite world, pro-Trump pundits, including Rush Limbaugh, Ann Coulter, and all the gang on Trump TV, they're claiming that the bombs were planted by Democrats or were false flag operations. Didn't really happen.
In the midst of this atmosphere, we have this series of bombs that were supposedly sent today, exclusively to Democrats.
Supposedly sent, right? Right.
And it just, there's a smell test that this stuff has to
you
pass.
You smell.
And so far, a lot of people's noses are in the air.
Oh, God.
Not quite certain what to make of this. Republicans just don't do this kind of thing.
That was one of his arguments. The Republicans just don't do this kind of thing. Go climb back under your rock, Rush. Although she hasn't held a press briefing recently, I think there was one count them, one in the month of September. I think there was only one in October, maybe two. That's it. Sarah Sanders did speak with reporters outside the White House this morning, where she defended Trump's attacks on the press and his political opponents.
But do you believe that the president bears any responsibility for what we've seen over the past 2 days? And does he regret any of the comments that he's made about his opponents? Or does he at least regret the tone that he's taken?
Right. The president's condemned violence in all forms.
No, he hasn't.
Done that since day one.
Bullshit.
We'll continue to do that.
Sorry.
But certainly feels that everyone has a role to play.
He's calling for a peace and harmony and a civil tone. Is he going to stop insulting his political opponents at his rallies? He called Maxine Waters low IQ. He's called Joe Biden someone pulled off a trash heap. He said Hillary Clinton
nice
is crooked. Hillary, is he going to stop insulting the people who received these bombs?
Look, the president's going to continue to lay out the contrast between Democrats and Republicans.
Is he going to
and if you'll let me finish, I'll answer it for you, but I'd like to finish my sentence. The president is going to continue to lay out the case and the differences between Democrats and Republicans. Americans have a choice to make, and he's going to lay that out, and you're going to see him do that over the next 12
days. Is he going
days.
To stop the insults, Sarah?
Is he going to stop the insults?
That people need to stop criticizing their opponents as morally deficient. A few weeks ago, he said the Democrats who opposed Kavanaugh were evil. Does he regret that statement?
The president feels like we should call out despicable acts, which is exactly what he has done over the last 24 hours. The idea that
the way to describe people in the political sphere.
I'm sorry?
Is evil an appropriate way to describe
it? It's a word that
people
have used
sphere?
On your network a number of times, not only to describe the president, but many people
as
that work
evil?
In this administration.
No,
absolutely.
She's lying.
Day in, day out, there is a negative tone. 90% of the media attention around this president is negative.
Yeah.
Despite historic job creation, despite the fact that our economy is booming, despite the fact that trade deals that everybody said couldn't be made have been made, despite the fact that the president is trying to install law and order at our border.
Oh, give
protect
me a
the
fucking
security
break.
Of Americans from the East Coast to the West Coast, North and South. You guys continue to focus only on the negative. And that is there is a role to play. Yesterday, the very first thing that the president did was come out and condemn the violence. The very first thing your network did was come out and accuse the president of being responsible for it. That is
That's not
okay.
True.
The first thing should have been to condemn the violence.
Okay.
That's what the press secretary of the White House just said there is not true. It's not the first thing we did as this happened. We reported the news, in fact, and Poppy and I can attest to that because we were on the air live reporting the news as it happened.
They were live on the air yesterday when the fire alarm went off in the studio. They were I don't have sound of that, but they were reading the news, and all of a sudden the fire alarm went off, and they said, all right, let's go. We're going to find out what's going on. And then they had to evacuate. CNN handed it off to another bureau somewhere, and everyone was out in front of the CNN building for the rest of the day. The reason they were out there for so long, even after the explosive device was removed from the building, was because there was also that envelope with white powder, and they didn't know what they were dealing with, so they evacuated the whole building. And Sarah Sanders just says, you, the first thing you did was accuse the president of doing it. No, that's not true. And you should know that every word out of her mouth is also a lie. Just in case you need a reminder, Donald Trump has verbally attacked each one of the people who were sent bombs.
Crooked CNN. CNN is so disgusting.
CNN's fake news. I don't
well,
take
sir,
questions.
If
I don't take questions
news,
from CNN.
Questions.
CNN is fake news. I don't take questions from CNN.
You can have the biggest story about Hillary Clinton. I mean, look at what she's getting away with, but let's see if she gets away with it. Let's see. You know who the new leader is? Maxine Waters. Very low IQ. It's become radical resistance. You ever see their signs? Resist. They say, what are you going to resist? I don't know. They'll go to a person holding a sign who gets paid by Soros or somebody. Right, that's what happens.
President Obama, along with Brennan and Clapper and the whole group that you see on television now, probably getting paid a lot of money by your networks. They knew about Russia's attempt to interfere in the election in September, and they totally buried it.
Asshole.
Thank you, Keith. According to a new report from the New York Times, this is a lovely story. Chinese and Russian spies are listening in on Donald Trump's calls made on iPhones. White House officials told the Times they, quote, can only hope he refrains from discussing classified information when he is on them. end quote. China is allegedly using the information from these calls to help develop strategy in its trade war with the U.S., according to officials. It's less clear what the Russians are doing with their intel. Don't forget that Donald Trump, during the 2016 presidential campaign, harshly criticized Hillary Clinton over her use of a private, unsecured email server, saying it could have exposed classified information. I'm just letting that sit for a moment here. Yeah. Coming to you from Florida, you know, so I got to tell you that last night the candidates in Florida's gubernatorial race had their second and final debate. Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump's favorite stooge, showed he got a bit of a temperament problem.
On live TV in August, on the first day of the general election campaign, you said of Andrew Gillum's run for governor, quote, "The last thing we need to do is to monkey this up by embracing a socialist agenda." Fox News quickly disavowed your words, saying, quote, "They do not condone the language." Now, you called some of this response absurd. You've made appearances at four of David Horowitz's Freedom Center events, again, four separate times, four speeches, among some of Mr. Horowitz's statements, quoting here, "This country's only serious race war is against whites." You know, I'll ask the questions. Okay. It's not a McCarthy game, and I'm giving it, wait for the question,
sir. Okay.
He also said, "If blacks are oppressed in America, why isn't there a black exodus?" Now, in 2015, in your speech before the Freedom Center, you said of Mr. Horowitz, "David has done such a great work, and I've been an admirer. I've been to these conferences in the past, and I've been a big admirer of an organization that shoots straight, tells the American people the truth, and is standing up for the right thing." Those are his words. Here's my question.
He had not even made those statements then.
Yes, he had, sir. The first statement was made many years ago.
I mean, how the hell am I supposed to know every single statement somebody makes?
Whoa! How the hell am I supposed to know every single statement somebody makes? This is what Ron DeSantis asked of the moderator, who I agree was a bit breathy there. He went on a long time with that question, but he was asking a good question. Ron DeSantis did a number of appearances with David Horowitz's anti-Semitic, bigoted, he had these conferences that were filled with shady characters. And that's how he responds. On the other hand, Andrew Gillum once again landed a few zingers on his opponent.
Mr. Gillum, I'll give you a chance to respond now.
Well, let me first say, my grandmother used to say a hit dog will holler. And it hollered through this room.
Yep.
Mr. DeSantis has spoken. First of all, he's got neo-Nazis helping him out in the state. He has spoken at racist conferences. He's accepted a contribution and would not return it from someone who referred to the former president of the United States as a Muslim, N-I-G-G-E-R. When asked to return that money, he said no. He's using that money to now fund negative ads. Now, I'm not calling Mr. DeSantis a racist. I'm simply saying the racists believe he's a racist.
Woo! I got to add some applause to that one because the crowd did go wild. I'm not calling Mr. DeSantis a racist. I'm simply saying that the racists believe he's a racist. Andrew, I had forgotten that the debate was happening yesterday, and thanks to a wonderful friend, we have a functioning television in our house again. Ours had broken. It's a smart TV, so we were able to pull up. We missed the debate. It was at 7 o'clock last night, and I realized it at about 8:30, 9 o'clock. And we were able to pull it up on the interwebs and watch it on the TV. And Andrew Gillum, as Lisi D said in the chat room, once again killed it in this debate. DeSantis is just so out of his league. He looks so like a fish out of water. He looked so uncomfortable, like he was about to cry. Every question he was asked, instead of answering the question, he would answer something about Andrew Gillum. And Andrew Gillum just was cool, calm, and collected. Get out and vote, please. Because our lives do depend on it. Our ballots already went in. All right. We'll take a break. We'll check in with Brad and Desi in the Green News Report and come back on the other side with Howie Klein, who has a great piece. It's actually not up at Down with Tyranny yet. It'll be there tomorrow. But it has to do with the fact that for some reason, more millionaires and billionaires are running for office than actual regular working people, and that's not a good thing. All right, stick around. I'm Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. We'll be right back. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, all right. Well, instead of Brad and Desi, we'll hear Jim Hightower.
What do most people who backed Trump in 2016 really want? I'll tell you today on Hightower's Radio Lowdown. If you despair that a mysterious plague of incurable political knuckleheadism has swept our country, turning previously progressive white working class people into mindless Trump worshippers, check out this report, The Promise of a Progressive Populist Movement. It's from People's Action, a grassroots coalition that sent out volunteers to knock on more than 5,000 doors, have nearly 2,500 phone conversations, and visit scores of local events and churches in Trump country, dozens of rural counties in 10 swing states that went for Trump in 2016. The volunteers simply had open conversations, asking folks in economically distressed rural communities what mattered to them politically. The most common initial response was, "No one's ever asked me before." While Trump voters are predominantly white, the working-class families visited by People's Action included Black, Latino, Native American, and other residents living in these rural areas. Practically none were worried about the inflammatory bugaboos that idolatrous Trumpsters cite. Hordes of invading aliens, mooching poor people, fake media. Rather, what most concerned them was being told by word and deed that they, America's hard-hit and hard-working families, don't matter. Far from converting to the narcissistic church of the Donald, these voters saw Trump as merely a handy blunt force club to whack a two-party system that no longer speaks to, much less for, them. This is Jim Hightower saying, and rather than embracing Trump's elitist ideology and corporate agenda, they told People's Action that they want populist reforms like health care for all, fair wages, free access to education, clean water, and a government uncorrupted by big money. To learn more and read the report, go to peoplesaction.org/the promise of a progressive populist movement.
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
These are the sounds of crushed souls, the sounds of despair from former radio personalities, languishing in the purgatory of corporate consolidation. These former radio personalities have lost their livelihoods, not because they weren't entertaining or informative, but because they don't meet today's corporate terrestrial broadcast standards of being smelly, overweight douchebags, seething with vein-popping hatred. These radio refugees and their audiences have since migrated to the Internet, but their struggle continues as the quest for monetization ensues. Nicole Sandler is leading the way to reestablishing thought-provoking and entertaining radio. And you can help by clicking the donate button on NicoleSandler.com. Donate today, or as much and as often as you can. Dry the tears of listeners by removing the rotting stench of corporate radio. Won't you help?
How can we get laws and policies that benefit common people rather than moneyed elites? I'll tell you today on Hightower's Radio Lowdown. Is it possible to get public policies out of our political system that benefit common people rather than moneyed elites? Yes, we the people can bypass corporate purchase lawmakers and write the laws ourselves. In 26 states and numerous cities, grassroots people can put statutes and constitutional amendments on the ballot through a citizens' initiative process that, in this era of plutocratic rule, has become a major avenue for achieving progressive change. For example, on November 6, voters in Albuquerque, Baltimore, and Denver will be offered new forms of small-dollar public financing of elections to counter secret, unlimited donations by corporations. A South Dakota measure would ban corporate donations to candidates and political parties and bar gifts from lobbyists to elected officials. To stop incumbents from handpicking their voters by gerrymandering their districts, people in Colorado, Michigan, Missouri, and Utah will have a chance to turn redistricting over to independent nonpartisan commissions, and various other reforms to democratize voting are proposed in Florida, Michigan, Nevada, Maryland, South Dakota, and Massachusetts. Ballot measures have proven so successful that corporate front groups have begun proposing deceptively worded initiatives that, get this, would forestall citizens from putting initiatives on the ballot. So far this year, initiatives to stop or restrict initiatives have been filed in Maine and South Dakota to curtail people's access to this process of direct democracy. Also, ALEC, the secretive Koch-funded anti-democracy group, has generated bills in six legislatures essentially to keep citizen initiatives off the ballot. This is Jim Hightower saying, corporate elites are so afraid of democracy that they're actually trying to outlaw it. To help protect direct democracy, go to ballot.org.
If you'd like more of Jim Hightower's real populism, check out the Hightower Lowdown. Jim's monthly newsletter gives you the real lowdown on which corporations, by name, are doing what to the middle class, our environment, and our democracy. Each month, the Hightower Lowdown brings you facts you didn't know, along with actions you can take to fight back. It also comes with a sense of humor. Hightower believes we can fight the gods and still have fun. Plus, get this, it's cheap. Only $15 brings you 12 issues a year. For real populism, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
You're listening to The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Every Thursday, we get together with Howie Klein of Down With Tyranny and the Blue America PAC to talk about what's going on in the world of politics. And Howie, I got to tell you, you know, speaking of Dirty Debbies, Debbie Wasserman Schultz canceled the one and only debate that had been scheduled with, between her and the Republican who's running against her and Tim Canova. First, Debbie backed out, then the Republican backed out, and leaving Tim Canova to, I guess, debate himself.
Nope.
Nope.
Tim is not going to be debating himself. They've now canceled the debate. In exactly 30 minutes, so just when we finish our discussion at Down With Tyranny, I have a big story about what happened.
Oh, really?
That I started writing when the debate was on and finished writing when the debate was canceled.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they wouldn't even, you know, let Tim use it as a forum for himself the way CNN did with Beto when Cruz chickened out of their debate.
Right. They should have. He was going to do it. Actually, I'll be seeing Tim this weekend. Here's what a good guy he is. There's a guy named Mitch Stolberg, who's a listener of the program, someone I got to know when I was invited to speak at one of the Democratic clubs in the area that he was an officer at. And he's been great. He runs the PDA chapter in Broward County. He runs the Broward County chapter of the Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida. He works with Our Revolution, organizing all this stuff. Well, he was just diagnosed with a form of leukemia. They're having a fundraiser for him at Tim Canova's Hollywood office this Sunday.
No.
Yeah. So I'll see Tim. It's a shame because Mitch has to come up with a huge deductible to undergo chemo that he needs.
Mm. What can I say?
Yeah.
I feel terrible.
Yeah, it's a terrible situation, and that's why it's so interesting now to see the Democrats. Last night was the second and final Florida gubernatorial debate, and Ron DeSantis lies like the rest of the Republicans, saying that he's all for protecting pre-existing conditions. All of a sudden, all these Republicans are saying that in their ads, and it's all bullshit.
I know, but with someone like Ron DeSantis, you know, it's bullshit for all of them, but with someone like DeSantis, he's voted to abolish it.
Yep.
Over and over and over again.
Over and over.
When you take the governor of Florida, he hasn't voted. I mean, he's done other things that show what he thinks of protecting pre-existing conditions. But DeSantis actually, you know, voted aye,
right.
Nay. I mean, the votes are on the record. And do they just figure that people are too stupid to understand that or to check it or to know it?
I guess so, because what they've learned from Donald Trump is just lie, keep lying and keep lying. And eventually they believe you. And the bigger the lie, the more they'll believe you.
Right. So, I mean, sounds like Joseph Goebbels. That
yes.
was his, you know, his edict, ethic, I should
yes.
say.
Yes. And that's what, you know, Donald Trump does. And that's what his sycophants are doing as well.
Yes. Good word. I like that word.
Yeah, I like it, too. That was a good one.
I'll start using it.
Well, there are enough of them out there. So, Howie Klein, here we are, what, like 10 days out from Election Day, and you've got a piece coming in, I guess it'll be published tomorrow, that you sent me earlier this morning, about should the country be solely ruled by multimillionaires and billionaires? And I wrote something about it in the chat room, Speedbird9 said, who can afford to run for office? And I said, exactly. That's kind of the point you're making, or one of the points you're making.
It is one of the points. I mean, there's a lot to that. And, you know, obviously I've quoted a guy in there who makes he's a professor, and his whole life of study and books that he's written is all about this. And as I was reading him, I was wondering if he was going to get to the point how the DCCC, for example, let's leave the Republicans out of this for
okay.
a minute. They're so horrible, it's senseless to talk about them. But we expect more from the Democrats. But I was wondering if he was going to leave off the fact that the Democrats or the DCCC goes out of its way to recruit and support wealthy people and they consistently leave out working class people. And some of this guy's research, which fascinated me, was the exact numbers. I mean, I can tell what they do because of working with the candidates. So I see like how they're trying to destroy Randy Bryce now and how they're trying to destroy Kara Eastman,
mm-hmm.
two really good working class candidates who everyone thought was, you know, going to get some DCCC help. You know, the DCCC added them to that moronic red to blue page they do. And then all of a sudden, as Ryan's pack comes in and starts running millions and millions of dollars worth of ads against them, the DCCC says, oh, you're on your own, good luck, and that refuses to give them any money. I mean, Randy has gotten zero from them.
Wow.
Zero.
That's amazing.
Now, you know, some moron who runs it is saying, oh, well, we'll give you $50,000. The problem is what they're doing with the Blue Dogs and New Dems, including, you know, multimillionaires, people with millions and millions of dollars. Personally, they're giving them $2-4 million, not giving them, they're running ads in their districts on behalf of them for $2-4 million. And they're saying to Randy, because of all of the people who are complaining to the DCCC now, they're saying, well, we'll give you 50 grand. We'll run 50 grand worth of spots for you. 50 grand worth of spots doesn't do anything.
No.
It's nothing. Doesn't move the needle, not at all.
Mm-mm.
Randy needs the same kind of money, and Karen needs the same kind of money, and other working class candidates need the same kind of money that they're using for upper class candidates. I mean, the piece, which will be out tomorrow, everybody should read it. It's a little bit long. You know, I can't control myself when I get going.
Uh-huh. But it
talks about how the people who run the DCCC, the people who run the Congressional Democratic Party, have more in common with the Republicans than they do with their own base. They do not feel comfortable around working class people, like people like Randy.
Mm-hmm.
They feel comfortable around people like themselves, you know, wealthy people, upper middle class people, what this guy calls white collar folks. With even though blue collar people are more than half of the country and way more than half of the Democratic Party, or at least they used to be, they don't encourage people like that to run. In fact, generally speaking, they discourage people like that from running.
Right.
And I go into that in the post, including some really startling statistics that were upsetting. Now, I think, did I use some music in that post as well? I think I did, right?
No, you didn't. You used the music in a different post on anger.
Okay, well, I'm using that music in all of my posts.
Okay.
From now until the end of the election, and I thought I'd put it into this one as well. I'm literally putting it everywhere. And the good thing about it is that the musician who wrote and performs, I think he performs all of the instruments. He certainly sings it. His name is Matthew Grimm, and he lives in Madison, Wisconsin now, although I believe he's from Iowa originally. Anyway, Matthew's an old friend, and he did this song, and I persuaded him to do different versions of it. So right now I'm running the Randy Bryce version, but there's a Kara Eastman version coming, and there's a there's going to be versions for various artists. I'm sorry, for various candidates, and I'm hoping to run some of them as ads.
Wow,
it's a very strong post. So these are not persuasive ads trying to get Republicans to vote for Democrats or try even independents. These are get-out-the-vote type ads. They appeal to people who are already progressives, and it's very, very, very powerful imagery. You can even show that imagery in the chat room, right?
For the YouTube, for people watching on YouTube, they'll see the video, but I'll play it so everyone can hear the song. So
the video is very strong. Uh-huh. The images are very strong. And they're the kind of thing that people like you and I and most of your listeners appreciate. But you can't really show it to, people who are undecided. They're not going to like this kind of thing. This is the kind of thing that will remind people to get out and vote for candidates like Randy Bryce and James Thompson and J.D. Shulton and Kara Eastman, and those are we're going to try to run it in a targeted way as a get out the vote thing for the next 10 days for those candidates.
Okay, well, we'll play it here. The artist's name is Matthew Grimm.
Yes.
The song is, what's it called?
The song is called, but before he's still changing it around.
Ah.
But the song is called, what is it? The Whirlwind, I think.
The Whirlwind. Yeah. That's it. The Whirlwind. Okay. So here we go. Matthew Grimm on the Nicole Sandler Show.
He has been stuck in cities. Hospitals, factory shops and schools, dragging parents from their families, culling neighborhoods like herds, just following their orders like those men in Nuremberg. Neo-Nazis in our streets, straight-edge dreamers held to jail, children trapped in concentration camps, possessed shackled mothers wail. For being true to vows they swore, presumed to rule by fear and tantrum, forsaking everyone of yours. Demonize all who won't bow to you. Set loose your zombie thralls. Pack the courts with scaring yes men to raise you above the law. Did you think we'd take your hand and just dump gently into a new dark age? And we'd turn our so patient while you drag our neighbors away, and all your Russians and your fascist cult can save you from your sins. We'll count your days and open wide and prepare to reap the whirlwind. Hindus, pagans, Buddhists, Sikhs, and Jews. We're iron workers, scientists, and LGBTQs. Latino, Arab, lawyers, artists, teachers, atheists, Irish, African, South Asian, every color that exists. Service workers, teamsters, trackers, rockers, rappers, clerks, and maids, NGOs, reporters, kids, veterans, and DAs. We're the machine
American as you. And you'll go the way that all the tin pot despots always do. Did you think we'd stand by while you tore down all the good we've ever known and make the world a rich man's playground with the rest are on our own? That feels like you go anywhere but history's rubbish bin. Well, count your days and open wide and prepare to be the world.
Nicole,
yeah,
both you and I were formerly rock DJs on radio stations.
Yes, we were.
And didn't you love when you got a chance to play something for the first time?
Always, always. And this, I mean, I listened
greatest
to it.
Pleasure.
Right. And I'll tell you, I got goosebumps because I had heard it before, but I watched it with the video as it was playing. Wow, that is a strong song. His name is Matthew Grimm. The Whirlwind is the name of that song. And for those who weren't watching on YouTube, I will post the video on my blog along with today's podcast at NicoleSandler.com so you can check it out because the video was brilliant as well.
And there are going to be about 10 versions of that video. I mean, there are like four, but there'll be 10 by the end. I mean, we just keep working on it. It gets better and better. There's, I don't know which one you even have, but there's a great one that's very, very Randy oriented already, and he's working on a Kara oriented one.
Wow.
Now, which really what that means is more pictures of Randy are in it than in the original.
Uh-huh.
I have the original on my blog today. I think this one that I sent you, I think is the Randy one. Is that
I think
correct
so.
There?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So anyway, so no one has seen them. I mean, we can't even tell the candidates about them because it's going to be an independent expenditure.
Ah.
So literally, Randy Bryce, unless he's listening to your show now, has never seen this. He doesn't know what it is. Since we're not running anything for Alan Grayson, obviously, I ran it by him to see what he thought. And he said something similar to you about getting chills. He said it was really, really reminded him in a really good way of Bruce Springsteen.
Hmm. And at the beginning, I was thinking a little bit of Tom Waits, but then he kicked it up and there was more Bruce energy. But he's got that gravelly Tom Waits voice thing going on, too.
Yeah, he's wonderful. I've loved his songs for a long time. He was in this band called The Red Smear.
Hmm.
And a few years ago, there were some other songs of his that we were real crazy about. There was a really good one that I use all the time. It's about unions. It's really, really good. And even in this one, you see the imagery from some labor union strikes and things like that. He's really good. He's really, he keeps on saying, oh, I don't make good videos, but yes, he does.
Oh, yes, he does.
And he's a real good musician.
Yeah. Oh, that sounded
anyway,
great.
Anyway, we, like I said, we're going to run some ads for some of our candidates about it. Again, targeted ads. You can't use something that strong in a general way because people will be offended by some of that.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, young people like it, educated people. When I say educated, I mean people who know what's going on in terms of current events and are following the elections and the politics. Those people like this kind of thing. But, you know, I think the version that you're looking at now has taken – already has – we've taken out some of the really, really – well, I, they're not offensive to me. They wouldn't be offensive to you, but there are a lot of it goes beyond just giving Trump the finger. There are a couple that there's a version that definitely goes beyond just Trump getting the finger from people.
Although that was quite rewarding. It, you know, nice seeing all the fuck Trumps.
You love it, of course. You love it. I love it. You know, no question about it. But the when we went to Facebook and asked Facebook if we could run it as advertising, they said, "Well, can you cut it down to 15 seconds?"
Oh God. That's hard to do.
There is a 45-second version, and God bless Matthew. He did it on his own
Wow.
without me. I mean, you know, because I work with artists. I'm not going to tell some artist to, like, cut his song down to
15 seconds.
Even 45 seconds.
Right.
But overnight, last night, Matthew did it on his own.
Wow. Wow. That's really nice. So that's not somebody you ever signed to a label or anything, huh? He's just doing it on his own?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, I've encouraged him. I've written about him for years.
Mm-hmm.
He's very much, you know, someone who wants to see progressives win elections. I didn't know him when I worked at Reprise.
Mm-hmm.
I met him after I had retired.
I see. Okay. Well, it's good music. So you have it actually posted right now at Down With Tyranny on a post called Anger Can Be Potent, Just Ask the GOP. And this is an interesting post also about how the people's anger is going to make way for high voter turnout.
Yes. And what I was trying to get at was that Republicans and Democrats are very angry. Democrats are a little bit more angry than Republicans, but they're all angry. I mean, Republicans are angry all the time. But Democrats are more angry than they are right now. But they're angry about different things. So the Republicans are angry about one kind of thing. The Democrats are angry about another kind of thing. But in the end, it seems to be coming together that the issues that the Democrats are angry about are more potent. You know, I didn't write about this because it just came out, but LSU, I think that stands for Louisiana State University,
uh-huh.
Maybe it stands for something else.
Yes.
They just released a very, very credible poll. And the whole poll is interesting, and I'm working on a post about that poll now anyway. But something that stood out for me that I just tweeted was that 62, they asked the question about what they think is coming in 2020, how they feel about it. And although it was the same as always, 35% of Americans think that Trump has earned a reelection. And that's always, you know, there's always this 35% of people who like Trump and think he's good at this and good at that. And it's just insane. But anyway, the only time that goes below 35% is when they face reality and they ask about honesty.
Oh.
And then Trump's numbers go down to like 20 because even his fans know he's a liar. But most people, when they know someone is lying to them all the time, that might make them think, well, he doesn't really deserve re-election, but his fans are different.
Yeah.
The number that really got me was that at this point, 62% of Americans think he should not get another term.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Well,
That's a lot of people.
That is. And that should be enough to keep him from getting reelected, except for voter suppression and all the purge lists and all the dirty tricks that Republicans are playing to try to keep Democrats and independents from voting.
Generally speaking, that kind of stuff in a national or statewide election, that's good for about 5%. But when the number is 65 to 35,
mm-hmm.
voter suppression isn't going to work. I mean, unless they bring it to a new level that has been unseen before, and I'm not saying they're not going to, but generally they can, you know, like what's happening in Georgia right now.
Right.
You know, this guy is hoping to move the needle by this guy Kemp, who is the Secretary of State and running for governor. He's hoping to move the needle by 3 or 4% by the things he's doing, and that might be enough for him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because Stacey Abrams is, you know, maybe a point or two ahead of him. Or it's around tied right now. Some of the polls show her ahead. Some of the polls show him ahead. So that's the case when you do a little bit of monkey business with the the kind of stuff a Secretary of State can do, like confiscating absentee ballots, which is the latest thing that he just got slapped for by the state Supreme Court. That can change a point or two. And that might be all he needs.
Right.
But in Trump's case, we're talking about, you know, 62-35. There's, none of that stuff is going to work.
Oh, well, you know, it can't come soon enough for me. I don't know how I've been saying this. I don't know how we survive another 2 years with him. I guess we do, because I couldn't picture when he was elected 2 years in. We're just about there now. a bit frayed around the edges, but we're still here. And luckily no bombs went off where they hurt anybody yesterday. But I do worry with the rhetoric coming out of Trump's mouth, what we're going to descend into over the next 2 years in this country.
He's got 10 or 11 rallies
scheduled between now and the 6th.
Yeah.
And they're adding rallies, so there's going to be more than that. So on many days, he's going to be doing two a day.
Right. We get to pay for that, by the way. We get to pay for the Air Force One flights and everything that goes along with it. I say this because he used to bitch so much about Obama anytime he got on that plane, and he's flying around the country going two states in a day to do these rallies. It's just the hypocrisy gets to me. Howie, before you go, we've only got about 4 minutes left. I want to mention that you have another, something cool going on with Blue America. You're giving away $15,000 to three candidates.
Well, actually 16.
Okay.
In other words, each candidate who gets of the three, we're asking our readers to pick, and now our listeners,
right,
to pick three candidates. So each of those three who get the most votes will get $5,000, and then another candidate who gets the most money will get another $1,000, whether it's that candidate or not that candidate. So potentially one candidate can win $6,000 and two others get $5,000 apiece. On top of that, we're using the money that's coming in to make to run those ads that we just heard, the musical background for the ads. We're going to run those ads on Google. So you know how when you go on Facebook and you look for a video, very often an ad pops up?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to do. So I almost instantaneously, you get the first 5 seconds of the ad, but I almost instantaneously delete them. But I noticed the other day that when Elizabeth Warren's ad came up, I watched the whole thing through, and I think for me that was the first time I ever did that. I'm not an ad kind of guy.
No, nor am I. But yeah, if it catches my attention, there are a few ads I sit through. Then there are some that you can't, skip. So I sit through those too. So
right, to run the ads that you can't skip is very, very, very expensive. That costs
really
a fortune.
Wow.
The way this works is if someone watches, I'm not positive I'm getting this right, but if someone watches less than 15 seconds of the ad, You don't pay for anything.
Huh.
It's free.
Okay.
But for us, running that ad. So if someone just listens to the first 15 seconds, we pay nothing. If someone listens to 15 seconds, then we have to pay.
Interesting.
The advertiser has to pay. So, okay. It's a very effective way to get your message out. We have found it's also the single most watched ad vehicle on the internet.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah, learn something new.
That's how they sell it to us. And we have found it somewhat useful. Again, like I said, we're just going to target this to people who we feel we want to definitely get out to vote. We're not trying to get Republicans to get out to vote. I mean, if they do, they do. If they don't, they don't. But we're trying to encourage the Democratic base to get out to vote for our candidates.
Absolutely.
So anyway, Can you also post the thing that lets people know about our contest so
absolutely
that they can vote for the three candidates that they think deserve that money?
Absolutely. I'll put that on my blog post as well with the Matthew Grimm video and the link to all the information on this on how you can get in on this and help award $16,000 to some great candidates.
Yeah, they need the money it's all about get out to vote at this point. I mean, it's too late to do other things with that kind of money, but they need that money for getting out to vote, and that is going to determine who's going to win these congressional races.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. I mean, I think I said this to you last week, but it always gets me when watching TV or something, and a pundit said, well, this race is all going to come down to turnout. Well, no shit. It all comes down to turnout. It's whoever can get more people to come out and vote.
Yes, indeed.
And that's,
I think I was watching that same show.
All right, Howie Klein, again, find him at downwithtyranny.com and the Blue America Pack, and I will have links to all of it on my blog at NicoleSandler.com. As always, Howie, thank you.
Thank you. You know what we forgot to tell people?
What?
You can also, the people who actually vote also get a chance to win some beautiful artwork by Nancy Ohanian that we're giving away, signed prints.
Oh, great.
But we can talk about that next week, I guess.
Okay,
no, we won't.
And it'll be with the info when you go to click on it to see how to get involved. And you can find out about these art prints that are beautiful.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks, Howie. Bye-bye.
Bye, Nicole.
Again, you find Howie at downwithtyranny.com and the Blue America Pack. You can get to it from Down with Tyranny or from my blog post today at NicoleSandler.com. Tomorrow, we're going to do something a little different. You know, it's World Series time. And in case you didn't know, my husband, he's been a baseball player's agent. He works in the sports